Blog Talk Radio.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. February is Teen Dating Violence Prevention Month, and so that's why I played that PSA. As a parent of a teen, I think it's really important that we become more aware that dating violence doesn't just happen to adults. There are teens going through this, boys and girls. And so if you are related to a teen, have a teen in your life, a nephew, a niece, a local high school, maybe, you know, go over and talk to the teens about how to develop healthy relationships. And, what are the signs of dating violence? People are stalking, you know, they're doing a lot of things on Twitter, Facebook, inappropriate, you know, asking of questions and where are you and who are you with and all these things on a constant basis, following, and this starting at early age. So don't wait to have this discussion if you have a teen in your life. But this morning we're talking about another crazy relationship situation. The stars of the movie Exit Strategy are here this morning on the air, Jamil, Celine, and Camelia Weathers. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's good?
So do I have to break up with one of you guys today? I mean, really, you know, this movie is absolutely ridiculous. I just have to tell the audience, okay, one of the first scenes, I almost died. I fell off the sofa. I was sitting on my sofa. I was watching the DVD. Camelia spits in Jamil's hand. I was like, oh, I'm going to retch. Oh, my God. Retch. There's a lot of other things she puts in his hand, too, that are kind of gross. but let me just tell the audience a little bit about you guys. Jamil's actually also the writer of this movie. He's won the 2008 First Glance Film Festival Best Short Film Award and was a 2010 Slam Dance writing finalist. He's written and directed the indie feature Cream Soda and recently directed and co-produced the horror flick Fear Not. And Jamil is from Philadelphia, Philly in the house.
So me, B. Moore.
B. Moore, too. Okay. And Camelia, she was from D.C., and she's starred in The Wire and also in Bring Your A-Game, which is a Mario Van Peebles film. Shout out to D.C., the DMV.
Hey, D.C. in the house. And we got to shout out Jamaica as well. That's where I was born. My entire family's from Jamaica.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Jamaica, if you're listening. If you're listening, you can call in 646-929-0368. You want to follow them on Twitter. Jamil Celine is on Twitter, at Jamil Celine. And also at Camelia Weathers is on Twitter. And their website for the film is exitstrategy-themovie.com. Again, exitstrategy-themovie.com. It's going to be opening February 10th, AMC Theaters. And on this side of the country at Cherry Hill Lowe's and Franklin Mill Malls. So, Jamil, what urged you to write this movie? I know it was a web series first, right?
Yeah, we started the web series in 2007. Camelia came up with the concept with some other friends, and you know, we shot it with no money and put it online, and it just, you know, it got love, and people started, you know, sharing it, and it just blew up, kind of.
So how did you guys connect, you and Camelia? How did you guys become friends?
We actually we met on a small project, an indie project here in Baltimore. And I think Jamil was the like first AD, and I was working in production. We met on that project, and I remember telling everyone, you know, I'm moving to California when this is done. I'm going to pursue my dream full time. And, you know, about 3 months after the project, I got a phone call from Jamil, and he said, hey, are you still moving to California? Do you need a roommate? Can I come with you? And, that's pretty much the story of how we met and how we ended up in L.A.
Yeah.
So you actually, in real life, as you know, as we talked earlier, you were roommates. So now how is it being roommates and playing roommates? Are you using stuff from real life, or are you making everything up? What's the deal?
No,
I was roommates with Camellia. Oh, go ahead. I was roommates with Camellia for 2 wonderful years, and, you know, we had our ups and downs, and I definitely... you know, considered some of those downs when I was writing the film and writing Kim's character. You know, but you know, the stuff in the film, she's never been that bad.
That crazy, that far-fetched.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, definitely not.
Camellia, so
yes.
how was it for you to have to spit in his hand or put other unseemly things in his hand? Like the hair, oh my God. The scene with the hair and the, what the heck?
It was so much fun. You have no idea. Like, Jamil is like my big brother. So it was like being able to like torment him and tease him and just make him squirm was so much fun. Like, I don't know how he put up with it because like I enjoyed every second of it.
Every spit take. I loved it.
So you guys had a big star on here, Kevin Hart. His crazy scene with the mannequin. I don't want to give up everything in the scene, but he was so deadpan in that scene. I mean, that's what makes him a great comedian. How was it, Jamil, being in the scene with Kevin Hart?
I was so scary. I was so intimidated. Yeah, because you know, we had the improv, and you know, I'm going up against one of the funniest men on the planet. And I was scared that I was going to break, you know. I was scared that he was going to make me laugh and I was going to break character and ruin the scene. So it was, it was very scary, but it worked out. And I was honored to have done that with him. It was great.
Yeah. So, Camellia, did you get to rap to Kevin off the set a little bit?
You know, actually, the day that they filmed that scene, I wasn't working that day, so I missed out on the chance to actually meet with him. But I saw, like, some of the takes and the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it was so hilarious. It was so funny.
So what was your favorite part, Camellia? Should I say Kim or Camellia? Which one do you prefer?
Camellia. I prefer to go by Camellia just because I really want to separate myself from Kim.
Okay.
Kim is a little special, and
very special. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Camellia, what was your favorite part of the movie?
I think my favorite part was the scene where, you know, when Kim loses it in the pawn shop, and I'm sure you know the
word. And he's rolling on the table.
Yeah.
Yes, that was so much fun. But I have to tell you, that was the hottest day of the year in L.A. when we filmed that scene. It was over 100 degrees. We were in the valley, which everyone knows it's 10 degrees hotter in the valley than it is in the rest of L.A., and we couldn't have the AC on because, you know, it affected the sound. So literally I walked in and I started sweating immediately. And luckily it worked for the scene because, you know, she kind of slips out and goes crazy. But we did about 5 takes and I was pretty much drenched afterwards. But it was so much fun just being able to flip out and go crazy on Jamil. It was a blast.
She did it so well. It was actually, I got really scared at one moment because, I don't know, it just felt real and it flashed back to some moments that we had living together.
Whoa! Wait, let the man talk now. See, this is a problem with relationships. Black women aren't letting the black men discuss their feelings and express themselves. So, Jamil, tell us what happened now, brother.
Oh, You know, no, not one particular incident, but Camellia and I used to get in seriously heated arguments over various issues that we didn't agree on. And
it didn't matter what it was. I mean, we argued about anything you could match. Like, he could say it's raining outside. I'd be like, no, it's not. And we would start an argument about that. Like,
what?
We just argued about everything. So, it was
But you know what? That's what relationships, Jamil, I mean, in terms of, I'll get a little personal. What do you think one of your worst breakups that you've had in your real life?
Probably the breakup that resulted in me moving out to California with Camellia. We actually didn't tell you all of the story. The reason why I called her and said, can I come with you, was because, I caught my girlfriend cheating on me. I called her house and some guy answered the phone. And this was probably a couple of days after I found out that Camellia was moving to Cali, so I called up immediately and said, can I come with you? I got to get out of this state. I got to go somewhere, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, yeah. So how about you, Camellia? What's your worst breakup story?
I really don't have a really bad one. I have to say I'm guilty. I've broken up with people over the phone. I guess that means I'm a little bit.
Oh, so you're a heartbreaker. She's a heartbreaker. Watch out, guys.
No.
If you're checking around the film, don't go there. She's going to break your heart.
I mean, I guess I've just been fortunate not to have to ever call someone's house and have another girl answer the phone. That's pretty traumatizing.
Traumatizing. Look at her. Uh-oh, we need some therapy up in here. Well, you know what? You guys can call in next Thursday because actually I'm going to have two therapists, a clinical psychologist and a therapist on next Thursday talking about relationships, you know, since February is also Valentine's Day coming up. But, the cheating things, I've had people cheat on me. That is not a pretty situation, and especially when they get caught. I mean, the reaction, some people try to lie and squirm out of it, and other people are like, yeah, so, like, what now? You know, you want to talk to her? You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But let's talk about some positive things also that are happening. You guys hooked up with Big Boy. Jamil, how did that connection happen with Big Boy?
Well, yeah, the co-producer and co-star of the film and my good friend QDZ, you know, he was working with Big Boy at the time, and he took the idea of the movie to Big Boy, and Big Boy was down with it, you know, and he gave us the money for the, you know, starting funds for the movie. It was a good look. I mean, he was just feeling generous, I guess.
Sometimes blessings come, you just don't even expect it. Like the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, they had gotten to a car accident, nothing serious, but just the car just stopped and some parts problems. But at the end of the whole thing, which maybe lasted maybe 8 months, they ended up getting two cars out of the situation. It was just a crazy situation. So sometimes you're like at a dry spot in life, and then other times you get these huge blessings, you know, like Big Boy coming and giving you money like that. I mean, that's just awesome. What do you see yourself doing next, Camellia? Are you working on some other productions?
Well, I just finished the last year just working behind the scenes on some projects with HBO, just working in production. But in the future, you know, right now we're just enjoying the ride of Exit Strategy. I would love to continue working on films and with quirky characters like Kim. I really love just comedy, and I hope that, you know, that's more of that in my future.
So, Jamil, what's up next for you coming up in the future? Are you working on another screenplay?
Yeah, well, actually, I've written 4 screenplays since Exit Strategy, and, you know, they're all in various stages of development. 3 of them, I won't even be in. I wrote them for other directors and other production companies, but the last one I co-wrote with a writer from The Office, Anthony Q. Farrell, and that one I'm attached to starring, and, you know, we're developing that right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God. You know, Camellia, I saw that you like Slumdog Millionaire. Do you remember the scene in Slumdog where the little boy had to jump in the you-know-what?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Is that?
Gross.
He didn't care what he had to do. He was going to meet that man and get his autograph. And that's what I love. I love that part.
So, Jamil, tell me about some of your favorite movies. I see The Matrix. You like, what are some of your things you like?
Now, I don't think The Matrix was on my list. I think that was
no.
one of QVC's.
That was Michael's, I think. Yeah.
Michael, okay. I mean, no, it's a great movie. I love it. But,
yeah, don't get in The Matrix now. I'm a Matrix. I love The Matrix. But, you know, Star Wars, you like Star Wars, that's sci-fi.
Yeah. You know, most of my favorite movies people have never heard of because I watch a lot of older films, and, you know, my
mm-hmm.
parents got me into watching black and white movies, and one of my favorite actors is Jimmy Stewart. So one of my favorite movies is Harvey, and a lot of people, you know, haven't seen that movie or heard
hey,
of
listen,
it.
You know, listen to you. Like, you old head. I'm the 40-something section, okay, of life. That's where I am. So you're like, a lot of young people don't know about it. Anyway. But.
Yeah. So, it's called comedies. Groundhog Day is like one of my
Groundhog
favorite
Day,
comedies.
Yes. Okay.
Definitely.
That's crazy.
And Woody Allen. I've watched so many Woody Allen movies. He's like, you know,
yeah.
as far as screenwriting, one of the writers that I look up to.
Yeah, please don't marry your daughter, okay?
That's not a good look.
Please don't do that, okay? I'm not really feeling that part of it. But in terms of the films and stuff, yes, definitely an icon in the film industry. So, Camille, how did you get started in acting?
I started actually in middle school. In my middle school, we have the eighth grade play, which everyone's required to be a part of. I remember, and we did Guys and Dolls. And
wow, musical.
Yeah. Yeah, the music, and I auditioned, and I got the part of Miss Adelaide with in the film as the co-star with Frank Sinatra, and I loved it. I fell in love with performing ever since then, and I just continued. In high school, we did Shakespeare and Midsummer Night's Dream, and we did Damn Yankees and things like that. So I've just been involved. Actually, I can thank my my middle school for getting me started.
And how about you, Jimmy? How did you get started in the industry?
You know, I dabbled in acting in grade school, did my first play when I was in fifth grade, but it came after I dropped out of college. I was kind of, you know, just working and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And my father, you know, took me to a free test screening for this acting school, and I went to it, and, you know, ever since then I've been, you know, that's been my dream. And that was like 2000. That's when I discovered
wow.
my love for acting, my passion.
So, Camille, what can you tell the young actors out there? I mean, it's a tough business. It's not like, you know, you're going to become a doctor. There's kind of a path. You know, you probably get a job. As an actor, you don't know when your next gig is going to come. You don't know when your next audition. You might go on 100
right.
auditions and get, like, one callback. What can you tell young actors to, like, keep them motivated, keep them going?
I think the most important thing is that you have to believe. And if you have a dream, you have to protect it. Not everyone's going to, you know, be supportive of it, you know, and there are going to be some times where you doubt yourself. But if it's something that you love, you have to make some sacrifices for it. I know for Jamila and I, it was hard for us to move thousands of miles away from all of our friends and family. We didn't know anybody in L.A. We just knew each other, which is probably why we argued
mm-hmm.
so much because we didn't have anybody. But,
yeah.
you know, you just have to keep at it. And if that's something that you believe is for you, you can't let anybody take that dream away from you. And, yes, it's going to take some time, but you'll get some, you know, you'll get some lucky breaks, and you just have to be smart about it and just continue doing it no matter what.
If you believe that it's going to happen for you, you know, and just, you know, you're not waiting on a specific time frame, it'll happen, you know. It could be 15 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 5. Just know that it's going to happen, and don't worry about when. That's
when.
My advice.
Who would you like to work with, Jamil, in the industry? Who would you like to, you know, maybe co-produce or screenwrite together? Who would you like to work with?
Who would I like to work with? I would like to work with Judd Apatow. That would be great. That would be an honor. I really, you know, dig his whole movement. You know, and his writing and his producing is so prolific. I just want to, you know, I want to be like that when I grow up.
How, Camellia, who are some actresses that inspire you in the industry?
Oh, wow. Growing up, Lucille Ball. I can watch reruns of I Love Lucy all day long. I love
definitely
her.
Definitely a quirky character. Quirky comedy character.
Exactly. I think a lot of Kim just came from her, just, you know, being free to just fight to go for it. That's one of the things I loved about that show, is that, you know, whatever her goal was, whether it was she was trying to, you know, like, get on Ricky's show, which was like every episode, she went for it 100%. And I think you see a lot of that in Kim. She doesn't hold back. She just says, this is what I want.
She does not hold back.
Exactly. So, I mean, I love her. I love, oh my gosh, Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig, Bridesmaids is like one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I just love funny women who are just willing to, you know, just go for it and just be themselves. So
go over the edge. So, I mean, you know, relationships are tricky, and you try to break up. I mean, you try to, I don't want to give away all the film, but you were getting advice, Jamil. Your character was getting advice from a teenager.
Uh-huh.
Talk to the audience a little bit about that. What were you doing? You're trying to get advice from a teenager and you think it's
going to
work?
Well, here's my logic on that. I've, you know, over the years, I've gotten a lot of advice from friends. And it's all, you know, a lot of it's been really, really horrible, bad advice. You know? And, you
your
know,
friends are listening,
Jamil.
Your friends are listening.
Who cares? You know, of course I listened to it and it would blow up in my face. I feel like a lot of the advice that your male friends give you is like really juvenile. So I figured, you know, why not, you know, have this character coming from a teenage perspective? You know, because most of our advice, you know, I don't know, I feel like our maturity as far as dealing with women, sometimes we peak at 16. And, you know,
don't say that. Oh, that's sad. That's so sad. Camellia, I mean, do you feel like men don't know how to, you know, I guess, behave or communicate when they're in relationships as they get older, past 16? What's your experience? I mean, you seem like you've been the leader because you've been breaking up. You've been breaking hearts.
No, no, I think for women, we're, you know, we're taught to communicate. We're taught to express our feelings. I think we're just more experienced in that area. Men, you know, for the most part, kind of keep, you know, their feelings to themselves, or they just share those feelings with their, you know, their homies or whatever, but not necessarily to the person they're in a relationship with. So, and you see that in the film. It's like, Kim, one of the biggest lies of women we tell ourselves is we say, you know what, I think he really does love me. He just doesn't know how to express himself. You know, if I stay with maybe the longer, he'll learn to love me and learn to express himself, but really he's just not that into you. And
Kim, he's not that into you.
Yeah, and Kim has kind of convinced herself that, yes, even though he's showing signs that he's not interested and not fully there in the relationship, in her mind, you know, he'll get there. Maybe she's just there beforehand, and he'll eventually get to that point. And he'll learn to love her and her as much as she cares for him. So I think we see that a lot in relationships, unfortunately.
Jamil, why can't men man up? I mean, there's some guys who are straight and crude, and they'll, you know, humans can be crude and break people's hearts. But there's a way to break up. Why is it so hard for a dude just to be like, look, I don't want to talk to you? Because a lot of women, I have a lot of girlfriends. I had a girlfriend recently. She was talking to a guy. He even came to her birthday party, and then he just kind of fell off. And she was just like, what happened? And I was like, well, he just don't want to talk to you, or he's busy. Like, just leave it alone. When he's ready, he'll call back. But, I mean, why is it so hard for guys just to be like, look, I don't, you know, I can't talk to you right now. Like, to just say that. You know, women are always asking, why didn't he just say it?
I think maybe, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to be the bad guy, you know. They, that's bad karma. They want to.
Bad karma.
Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes people, you know, sometimes guys, what they do is they try to make it the girl's fault. And not just guys, girls do too.
Oh,
they try to make it the other person's fault. Because, you know, it'll make them feel better going away from the relationship. You know, they won't have that guilt on their mind.
Camille, do you think that's the case? Like, guys try to make it the girl's fault? What I see also is sometimes guys start acting out, like, real crazy stuff. And I think they just want to, like, they want you to break up with them.
Yeah,
you know? They don't really mean to do that. But
Yeah, I think men are the masters of flipping the script. Like, they you will have be arguing with them about something they did, and by the end of the argument, you feel like you end up defending yourself about something else.
Right.
Like, they are the masters of doing that. I think it's like Jamil said, no one really wants to be the bad guy, and no one looks at themselves as being the bad guy. So it's like, you know, you find a way to make it the other person's fault, so that way you don't really have to take any of the blame for yourself.
Oh, well, if we learn anything today, you know, at least try to be friends with each other first. I think that's important in a relationship first. And then that way, if you do break up, you're still cool. You see the person on the street, not try to run and hide, you know.
Honesty.
Honesty, yeah. Really? I mean, do people really want to know everything? I mean, in your movie, Kim was trying to share everything with your character. I mean, sometimes you don't want to know, you know. Sometimes you want to keep the facade a little bit, you know.
yeah, true.
I mean, Jamil, really, do you want to see the girl in the curlers and do you want to know about, you know,
oh, no.
In the month and go get the supplies and everything like that? You're not ready for that, huh?
Not that kind
of
honesty. Just
wow.
Good honesty.
Don't be chicken. You
not
can go in and you buy it for your girl. That's a form of love to go out and buy her, you know, the supplies she needs every month. That's okay. That's a real man.
Yeah.
You're not ready to...
Sure. I'm
30
now.
Wait.
I can do that.
He's not ready for that. Look, women have to go and go buy condoms. Let's be straight. We got to go buy condoms. We got to go buy prophylactics and stuff like that. Y'all can't go buy the other stuff?
I don't think we should have to, you know. I think...
What?
You know,
Okay. You
I think
heard
you're being a little bit too demanding there.
I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show today. It's been a blast. You guys are hilarious in the film. Just some of the scenes, I was just on the floor. I wish you a lot of success, Camille and Jamil. Thank you so much for coming on. And a shout out to Real Black and PR Dawn for hooking us up together today. Thank you so much, you guys. Check out Exit Strategy. That's the movie. Follow Jamil on Twitter at Jamil Celine. Follow Camellia on Twitter at Camellia Weathers. Go see the flick February 10th. All right?
Thank you so much, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful
I'm
Saturday.
I'm following you on Twitter now.
Good. Follow me on Twitter. Check it out.
All right,
you guys. Take it easy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with the stars of Exit Strategy, the movie. Check out their website, exitstrategy-themovie. Also follow Jamil Celine, who's also the writer, on Twitter, at Jamil Celine, and also follow at Camellia Weathers on Twitter. Stay tuned at 1 p.m. Eastern today. Andre Royo from The Wire, now in Red Tails, on the show, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's a special show. And more than that, even greater, wow, amazing, Major Harrison, a real Tuskegee Airman, will be on the air with us at 1 p.m. Eastern. So you want to tune in, the call-in number is 646-929-0368. Again, that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Today, talk with Andre Royo on the show. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You know, I do a lot of giveaways, so keep an eye out for today, tomorrow for the giveaways. Last week I gave away a book. Sometimes I give away movie tickets. Sometimes I give away play tickets. Sometimes I give away DVDs. You never know. Follow on Twitter. Become a fan. Have a wonderful Saturday. Call in at 1 p.m. to talk to Andre. Peace out.
Too much salt can drive up blood pressure and increased risk for stroke and heart disease, two leading causes of death in the U.S. Most Americans eat more than double the amount of salt recommended by experts. It can come from places other than the salt shaker, in canned goods like soup and packaged foods like frozen dinners. It's also hiding in breads and cereals. Read food labels, enjoy more fresh fruits and vegetables, and look for low-sodium alternatives. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov. A message from CDC.